would you rather be doing, Atkinson?
Well, to be quite honest, Sarge, I'd rather be at home with the wife and kids.
Would you now?
Yes, Sarge.
Right, off you go! Now! Everybody else happy with my little plan of marching up and down the square a bit?
Sarge?
Yes?
I've got a book I'd quite like to read.
Right, you go read your book then. Now! Everybody else quite content to join in with my little scheme of marching up and down the square? Sarge? Yes, Wycliffe, what is it?
Well, I'm learning the piano.
Learning the piano?
Yes, Sarge.
And I suppose you want to go and practice, eh? Marching up and down the square, not good enough for you, eh?
Well...
Right, off you go! Oh. Now, what about the rest of you? Rather be at the pictures, I suppose. All right, off you go! Bloody army, I don't know where it's coming to! Right, Sergeant Major marching up and down the square! Left, right, left!
Democracy and humanitarianism have always been trademarks of the British Army.
Rubbish!
Nanette and Napoleon Hardcastle have won everything they could possibly have entered for. And British weather has been named by Climate Magazine as the best in the world.
Look at them bloody Catholics filling the bloody world up with bloody people they can't afford to bloody feed.
What are we, dear?
Protestant, and fiercely proud of it.
Well, why do they have so many children?
Because every time they have sexual intercourse, they have to have a baby.
But it's the same with us, Harry.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, we've got two children, and we've had sexual intercourse twice.
That's not the point. We could have it any time we wanted.
Really?
Oh, yes. And what's more, because we don't believe in all that papist claptrap, we can take precautions.
What do you mean? Lock the door?
No. I mean, because we are members of the Protestant Reformed Church, which successfully challenged the autocratic power of the papacy in the mid-16th century, we can wear little rubber devices to prevent issue.
What do you mean?
I could, if I wanted, have sexual intercourse with you.
Oh, yes, Harry.
And by wearing a rubber sheath over my old fella, I could ensure that when I came off, you would not be impregnated.
Ooh.
That's what being a Protestant's all about. That's why it's the church for me. That's why it's the church for anyone who respects the individual and the individual's right to decide for him or herself. When Martin Luther nailed his protest up to the church door in 1517, he may not have realised the full significance of what he was doing. But 400 years later, thanks to him, my dear, I can wear whatever I want on my John Thomas. And Protestantism doesn't stop at the simple condom. Oh, no. I can wear French ticklers if I want.
You what?
French ticklers, black mambos, crocodile ribs, sheaths that are designed not only to protect, but also to enhance the stimulation of sexual congress.
Have you got one?
Have I got one? Well, no. But I can go down the road any time I want and walk into Harry's and hold my head up high and say in a loud, steady voice, Harry, I want you to sell me a condom. In fact, today I think I'll have a French tickler, for I am a Protestant.
Well, why don't you?
But they cannot. Because their church never made the great leap out of the Middle Ages and the domination of alien episcopal supremacy.
The Adventures of Martin Luther. An exciting and controversial examination of the Protestant reformer whose reassessment of the role of the individual in Christian belief shook the foundations of a post-feudal Germany in the grip of the 16th century.
The Meaning of Life. Part 3. Growth and Learning.
Now, before I begin the lesson, will those of you who are playing in the match this afternoon move your clothes down onto the lower peg immediately after lunch? Before you write your letter home, if you're not getting your hair cut, unless you've got a younger brother who's going out this weekend as the guest of another boy, in which case collect his note before lunch, put it in your letter after you've had your hair cut, and make sure he moves your clothes down onto the lower peg for you. Now,
sir,
Yes, Weimer?
My younger brother's going out with Dibble this weekend, sir, but I'm not having my hair cut today, sir, so do I move my clothes
down? You should listen, Weimer. It's perfectly simple. If you're not getting your hair cut, you don't have to move your brother's clothes down to the lower peg. You simply collect his note before lunch, after you've done your scripture prep, when you've written your letter home before rest, move your own clothes onto the lower peg, greet the visitors, and report to Mr. Viney that you've had your chit side. Now, sex. Sex, sex, sex. Where were we? Well, had I got as far as the penis entering the vagina?
No, sir.
Well, had I done foreplay?
Yes, sir.
Ah, well, as we all know all about foreplay, no doubt you can tell me what the purpose of a foreplay is. Biggs.
Don't know, sorry, sir.
Carter?
Oh, was it taking your clothes off, sir?
Well, and after that?
Oh, putting them on a lower peg, sir.
Purpose of foreplay is to cause the vagina to lubricate so that the penis can penetrate more easily.
Can we have a window open, please, sir?
Yes, Harris, will you? And, of course, to cause the man's penis to erect and ha-then. Now, did I do vaginal juices last week? Oh, do pay attention, Wadsworth. I know it's Friday after. Oh, watching the football, are you, boy? Right, move over there. I'm warning you. I may decide to set an exam this term.
Oh, sir.
So just listen. Now, did I or did I not do vaginal juices?
Yes, sir.
Name two ways of getting them flowing, Watson.
Rubbing the clitoris, sir.
What's wrong with a kiss, boy? Why not start her off with a nice kiss? You don't have to go leaping straight for the clitoris like a bull at a gate. Give her a kiss, boy.
Suck the nipple, sir.
Good, good. Well done, Weimer.
Striking the thigh, sir.
Yes, sir. I suppose so.
Arching the neck.
Yes, good. Nibbling the earlobe, kneading the buttocks, and so on and so forth. So we have all these possibilities before we stampede towards the clitoris, Watson.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Now, all these forms of stimulation can now take place. And, of course, tonguing will give you the best idea of how the juices are coming along. Now, penetration and coitus, that is to say, intercourse up to and including orgasm. Ah, hello, dear. Do stand up. My wife enters the room, Carter.
Oh, sorry, sir. Sorry.
Weimer, this is for your benefit. Would you kindly wake up? I've no intention of going through this all again. We'll take the foreplay as read, if you don't mind it.
No, of course not, Hamlet.
So, the man starts by entering or mounting his good lady wife in the standard way. The penis is now, as you will observe, more or less fully erect. There we are. That's better. Now, Carter.
Yes, sir?
What is it?
It's an ocarina, sir.
Bring it up here. The man now starts making thrusting movements with his pelvic area, moving the penis up and down inside the vagina. So put it there, boy. Put it there on the table. While the wife maximizes her clitoral stimulation by the shaft of the penis by pushing forward. Thank you, dear. Now, as the sexual excitement mounts, what's funny, Biggs?
Oh, nothing, sir.
Oh, do please share your little joke with the rest of us. I mean, obviously, something frightfully funny is going on.
No, honestly, sir.
Well, as it's so funny, I think you better be selected to play for the boys' team in the rugby match against the Masters.
Oh, no, sir.
The Meaning of Life, Part 4. Fighting each other.
Okay, Blackett, Sturridge and Walters, you take the bug from the left flank. Horton, Spatial and I will go to the gun first.
Right, hang on, 6-8, you'll never make it, sir. Let us come with you.
Do it, old man.
Right, Skipper. Sir, we don't meet again, sir. I'd just like to say it's been a real privilege fighting alongside you, sir.
Yes, well, this is hardly the time or place for a goodbye speech, eh?
No, me and the lads realise that, sir, but, well, we may never meet again, sir, so...
Yes, all right, Blackett, thanks a lot.
No, just a moment, sir. You see, me and the lads, we've had a little whip around, sir. We brought you this, sir.
Well, I don't know what to say. It's a lovely thought. Thank you. But I think we better get to the cover now.
Sir, we got something else for you as well, sir. Sorry, it's another clock, sir. There was a bit of a mix-up. Walters thought he was buying a present, and Spadger and I had already got the other one.
Well, it's beautiful. They're both beautiful.
I think we'd better get the cover now. Oh, sir, and I'll thank you probably later on.
Corporal Sturridge got this for you as well, sir. He didn't know about the others, sir. It's Swiss.
Oh, well, now that is the Corporal Sturridge. Good man.
And there's a car, sir. From all of us. Sorry about the blood, sir.
Thank you all.
Squad, three cheers for Captain Biggs.
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray! Thank you.
Oh, I'll be all right, sir. Oh, there's just one other thing, sir. Spadge, give him the check.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now this is really going too far.
I don't think we're able to find it, sir. Bin number four, Trent.
For Christ's sake, forget it, man.
You shouldn't have said that, sir. You've hurt his feelings now.
Don't mind me, Spadge. Toft is all the same. One minute it's all please and thank you, the next I'll kick you in the teeth.
Yeah. Oh.
Let's not give him the cake.
I don't want any cake.
Look, Blackie's got it especially for you, you bastard.
Yeah, he saved his rations for 6 weeks.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be ungrateful. I'll be all... Blackie, look at him. He worked on that cake like no one else I've ever known. Some nights it was so cold we could hardly move, but Blackie'd be out there slicing the lemons, mixing the sugar and the almonds. I mean, you trying to get butter to melt at 15 degrees below zero. There's love in that cake. This man's love, and this man's care, and this... Oh, my Christ!
You bastard!
All right, we will eat the cake. They're right, it's too good a cake not to eat.
Get the plates and knives, Walters.
Yes, sir. How many plates?
Six.
Better make it five.
Tablecloth, sir?
Yes, get the tablecloth. No. I'll get the tablecloth.
And better get the gate-link table hot.
And the little mat, sir.
Yes. Oh, and while you're at it, better get a doily.
I'll bring two, sir, in case one
right.
gets crumpled.
OK.
So tea was taken in the mud of Flanders. The dying rays of the summer sun glinted on fresh sliced cucumber sandwiches and caught the rough textured richness of the Garibaldi biscuits. The sound of crackling brandy snaps filled the still air. The soldiers chuckled over their Swiss roll and spread thick butter upon their scones. Squaddies passed the milk to majors, and colonels offered apricot jam to their batmen. Generals and runners sat down to crumpet together. The great tea of 1914-18 had begun.
They haven't said much about the meaning of life so far, have they?
Well, it's been building up to it.
Has it?
Yeah, I expect they'll get on to it now.
No room. This is the end of the side, you see. There's no more time for any meaning to be revealed. Look, it's coming up. Look out, there it is. Oh!
Hello and welcome to the middle of the film, the moment where we take a break and invite you, the audience, to join us, the filmmakers, in Find the Fish. We're going to show you a scene from another film and ask you to guess where the fish is. But if you think you know, don't keep it to yourselves. Yell out so that all the cinema can hear you. So here we are with Find the Fish.
I wonder where that fish has gone.
You did love it so. You looked after it like a son.
And it went wherever I let it go.
Is it in the cupboard?
Yes!
Wouldn't you like to know? It was a lovely little fish.
And it went wherever I let it go.
It's on the sofa!
Where can that fish be? It is the most elusive fish.
And it went wherever I let go.
Oh, fishy, 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 fish.
A fish, a fish, a fish, a fishy, oh.
Oh, fishy, 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 fish.
That went wherever I let go.
That was terrific!
Great! Yeah!
Best bit!
Fantastic! Yeah, it's really great!
Really pisky, yeah!
haven't said much about the meaning of life so far, have they?
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving, and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned. The sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 400,000 miles an hour, in a galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 500 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 6,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 1,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. Expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, at the speed of light, you know. 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly and lightly is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere out in space, cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's truly a real honorable experience to be here this evening. A very wonderful and warm and emotional moment for all of us. And I'd like to sing a song for all of you. It's Christmas in heaven. All the children sing. It's Christmas in heaven. Hark, hark, those church bells ring. It's Christmas in heaven. The snow falls from the sky, but it's nice and warm and everyone looks smart and wears a tie. It's Christmas in heaven. And there's great films on TV. The Sound of Music, Twice an Hour, and Jaws 1, 2, and 3.
There's gifts for all the family. There's toiletries and trains.
Yes, I do welcome.
Well, that's the end of the film. Now here's The Meaning of Life. Thank you, Brigitte. Well, it's nothing very special. Try and be nice to people, avoid eating fat, read a good book every now and then, get some walking in, and try and live together in peace and harmony with people of all creeds and nations. And finally, here are some completely gratuitous pictures of penises to annoy the censors and to hopefully spark some sort of controversy, which it seems the only way these days to get the video-sated public off their fucking asses and back in the sodding cinema. Family entertainment? Bollocks. What they want is filth. People doing things to each other with chainsaws during Tupperware parties. Babysitters being stabbed with knitting needles by gay presidential candidates. Vigilante groups strangling chickens. Armed bands of theatre critics exterminating mutant goats. Where's the fun in pictures? Oh, well, there we are. Here's the theme music. Good night.
Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving, revolving at 900 miles an hour, that's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned, a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. Expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, at the speed of light you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
So there it is, Monty Python's Meaning of Life from 1983. It was directed by Terry Jones and Monty Python, who recently passed away last week, which is why I decided to do Meaning of Life as well as Life of Brian this week. And I gave you side ones of the soundtracks of The Meaning of Life and Life of Brian, plus a couple other things there, a couple little things with Stephen Hawking doing the Galaxy song, as well as a couple radio promo ads. In the background, I'm going to do... See It, Rent It, Skip It, which is basically the top 10 box office. And I tell you whether I think you should see it, rent it, or skip it. And basically, you know, renting is part of the streaming process as well, Netflix and Amazon and all that, or go out and buy the DVD. The first one here, I'm going to give you a little background with 1917 in the background here, which I had seen, which is up for Best Picture. In the top 10 this week, number 10 is Knives Out, and made $3.5 million with a gross of $151.8 million. It came out right before Thanksgiving. Had a bunch of feedback from people because it was a big family movie, and you could see it with your family members. And I was looking forward... I wasn't looking forward to this, because the guy that did it was the guy that did Last Jedi, Rian Johnson, and he actually is up for Best Screenplay for Knives Out. The first half or so I liked. The second half, not so much. Is a little too woke for me. You'll know it if you see it. And I'm just getting kind of sick of these films like preaching to us every time we go out. I'm going to go
I don't know. I want to say skip it. I saw it, but I don't think I can recommend it. Jamie Lee Curtis was great. I thought Daniel Craig was great. You know what? I'm going to go rent it. I'm going to go. You get it out there. It gets on the stream. You see it at Redbox or whatever. It's worth seeing once. In the background, Thomas Newman with the 1917 score. Number nine is Just Mercy. It made $4.0 million. It's got a 27.1 gross with 5 weeks out. I don't know anything about this one. I didn't see this. It's Michael Jordan. Michael B. Jordan, we should say. World-renowned civil rights defense attorney Brian Stevenson works to free a wrongly condemned death row prisoner. I've heard okay things about this. I don't think I'm going to go out and see it myself, but it's got a 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb, which usually is pretty accurate, but I've noticed lately not so much. I will probably see this at one point, but I'm not going to go to the movies to see it. So this is a rent it or stream it for me. Just Mercy 2019. Number eight on the list is Little Women. I saw this last week. It's also up for Best Picture. $4.6 million it made. It's got $93.6 million total. After 5 weeks, go see it. Good movie. It's on my list. It's in the top three or four of the nine best pictures for me. I thought it was really well done. And what I liked about this movie is it was pleasant. It was actually a pleasant movie experience. It wasn't bashing you over the head with something, but it did say a little bit about now. And it also, I think it said a little bit more about universally being a woman, also universally being a man. It has a lot to say about a lot of things. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good, and I think you should see that one out in the theaters. Number seven on the list, Little Women. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's number eight on the list. Number seven is Star Wars Episode IX, Rise of Skywalker. If you haven't seen it by now, you're probably not going to see it in the theater, is my guess. If you're a Star Wars fan, maybe you saw it twice. Who knows? It's $5.6 million. It made $502 million gross, which I think is down from the last couple of Star Wars movies. I actually did not like it very much. I saw it again a second time. Gave it another round, and a little better, but not by much. It was kind of a cop out. I just thought there were a lot of things that happened where, okay, somebody's dead and then somebody's alive again. It was too easy, and the story was so convoluted, and they didn't need to bring the Emperor back. They didn't need to make Rey the Emperor's kid. Spoiler alert right there. If you haven't seen it, I don't care. You had 5 weeks to go and see it. And if you haven't seen it by now, it's not a spoiler to me. All right? You sissies. Anyway, I'm going to go rent it for that. If you haven't seen it, rent it because it's Star Wars. And maybe you'll like it. Maybe you won't. It's been out for 6 weeks, actually. The Turning. This is a horror movie. And this looks like a cool horror movie. But it's only got a 3.7 out of 10 on IMDb. So apparently people are hating it. I thought it was going to be worth seeing, but with that rating, kind of scares me. 7.0. I'm a big horror buff. I'll probably go rent it on this one. There's very few that I'd actually say skip. Jumanji, The Next Level. I still want to see this in the movie theater. I heard okay things about it. I heard it wasn't as good as the first one, but I loved the first Jumanji movie. It was probably my favorite of that year that it came out a couple of years ago. I thought it was really clever. So Jumanji, The Next Level, I'm going to go see it on that one because I'm probably going to go out there and still see it even though it's been out for 7 weeks. It's made $283.2 million at the box office. The Gentlemen, $10.7 million in its first week release. It's a Guy Ritchie movie who did a couple of great, great movies. He did Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, and he did Snatch. And he's usually really, really good. So it's worth seeing. You got an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb. I'm hoping to see that one within the next week or two. So I'm going to go see it on that one, The Gentleman. Definitely, if it makes it out of the theater, I'll be renting that one. Doolittle, I have no interest in seeing. It's Robert Downey Jr. It's been out for 2 weeks. It's got a gross of $44 million. I think it cost like $200 million to make. It's got a 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb. I don't plan to see it. I don't plan to rent it. I'm going to go skip it on Doolittle. I don't even know why they would make Doolittle. I mean, Eddie Murphy did Dr. Doolittle last, right? I mean, even that was, yeah, if Eddie Murphy, and it wasn't any good, right? 1917, fantastic movie. It's number two on the list this week. 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb. 15.9 million, 104 million gross. I'd say to anybody, go see that movie, because I just thought it was fantastic. There were a lot of things. I'm like, how are they doing that? It got a little distracting. That's been one of the criticisms of it. And it gets a little distracting. If you're kind of a film buff, you read a movie a little bit differently. Like, you look at edits and things like that. I'm like, how are they doing that? And I was kind of distracted and coming out of the movie trying to figure out where the cuts were and things like that. But very, very cool movie. I thought it was well done. Number one on the list is Bad Boys for Life. I didn't see the other Bad Boys. I know people enjoy it, but $34 million, 120 million gross after 2 weeks. It's got Martin Lawrence and Patrick Stewart, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, and I'm gonna go rent it eventually. I'll see the Bad Boys movies. I haven't, but I think people have been enjoying that. So that's the top 10 on the list there. What I'm gonna do for the rest of this hour, I was going to do Python the whole time, but I wanted to talk a little bit about these movies that are out now. And in the background, I'm going to play bits of Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood soundtrack, which is just probably one of the best soundtracks that I've heard in a long time from a movie.
In the City of Angels, your brother here to testify, because the weekend's through and money's starting, baby. We're going to walk on.
All right. Might as well talk about this one first. It's my pick for my favorite movie of the year, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And the soundtrack is amazing. It's set in 1969. It's a Quentin Tarantino movie. I do like Quentin Tarantino. I'm not an absolute fanatic. I like seeing all of his movies. I always watch them more than once. This one I watched twice. I'm going to watch it a third time. It's just well done. It's going to be looked at for years to come. It has a lot to say about now. Even though it's set in 1969, it has a real lot to say about now, about different generations, about what's happening in the news, with politics, gender differences, everything that's going on now. The only part that I kind of didn't like in the movie was the end. I like the end, but the end is also kind of a cop-out, but it also kind of goes with the movie, or you could take it separately from the movie on whether or not anything even happened. It's a fairy tale, but it's a great, great story, and I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it. I love Pulp Fiction, and this would probably be my second for Quentin Tarantino movies. I think it's a great, great movie, and I hope that it wins a lot of awards at the Oscars. I'm putting it as number one. I don't think it's going to win Best Picture, but it's my favorite movie of the year. Number two, which I think might actually sweep Best Foreign, or its international picture, is Parasite. Great, great flick. This is really worth seeing. It's a Korean movie, and it says a lot about lower and middle class, as well as a number of other things. And it's just really well done. That's my pick for international feature. And I think it might actually win Best Picture. You never know. It would be interesting to see it sweep the two of them. My third favorite is 1917. I talked about that a little bit. Little Women is my fourth. The Irishman is my fifth right now. which was on Netflix. It's a little long. It's not Scorsese's best. You're never going to see them again. You know, you're saying goodbye to Pacino and De Niro and Joe Pesci. It's not his best movie. It was okay. It was entertaining. But I don't think it was anything that great, and I don't think it should be up there for a Best Picture nominee. Same with the next one, what everybody loved for the year, The Joker. It's actually just Joker. I didn't think it was really that great of a movie. I've seen a whole bunch of different movies that were basically stolen from and made into Joker, in my opinion. It was okay, but that shouldn't be up for best anything, I don't think. Marriage Story I saw on Netflix. It was okay. I hated Scarlett Johansson. I thought Adam Driver did an excellent job. I think you're supposed to hate both of them. But they tried to make it like a Woody Allen-ish Kramer versus Kramer, but nowhere near as smart as Kramer versus Kramer. I don't think it should be on the list. It was an okay movie. All of these are worth seeing, but I don't think it should be up for Best Picture. And then Jojo Rabbit. Okay. I didn't, you know, it was like cheap Monty Python, pretty much. And I think it had less to say than any of the other movies. And the only one I haven't seen yet, Ford versus Ferrari, but I'm going to go check that out before the Oscars. So that's pretty much what I got so far for my little bit of feedback. I'll go into it more next week on the Oscar show for Watch This. In the meanwhile, I'm going to play the background of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for the remainder of the show here, so enjoy. It's KHJ in Los Angeles. It plays all throughout the movie, and the soundtrack is basically 75 minutes of the radio program. It's pretty cool. Anyway, listen on in. WMFO in Medford. Get ready for On the Town with Mikey D at 9 p.m. My name's Chris Searle. Thanks for listening to Watch This on WMFO in Medford.
Checking it out, baby. In fact, I checked it out a couple of times. I found it was tough enough, Caballero. Cheer. Heck, tall hit bound 947 at KHJ with Humble Harm. I'm going to take it down home.
Bye. the son, son, son of a loving man.
I'm the son of a loving man. My daddy told me, get you all the loving you can. I'm the son of a loving man. My daddy told me, get you all the loving you can. I'm the son of a loving man. My daddy told me, get you all the loving you can.
KHJ and the Real Don Steele Show, suck it a man.
Scent fragrance by Helena Rubinstein. Spray it on and heavenly things happen. Heaven Scent. Splash in it. Laugh in it. Live in it. Love in it. You'll find Heaven Scent fragrance at Helena Rubinstein counters everywhere.
The Vagabond, attention now, the Vagabond class of 1958 of University High will hold a reunion June 22nd. Oh, but you'll get to look at everybody's hair thinning and see if Jane really was a victim of baby fat. We'll find out for sure now. For information and reservations, you phone 478-2370.
Los Angeles weather.
Low overcast tonight, low around 58, mostly sunny tomorrow with a high near 68. No smog, beaches now 62, Valley 66, downtown 65, Orange County 66.
Don't dare stare at the illustrated man.
There are fearful pictures on his skin, but the most fearful thing is tattooed on his soul. The Illustrated Man, Ray Bradbury's masterpiece of the supernatural, an incredible journey to the outer limits of imagination. The Illustrated Man, starring Rod Steiger and Claire Bloom, from Warner Brothers 7 Arts in Technicolor. This picture is rated M.
And now playing exclusively at Pacific's Pickwood Theater in Wundy, Westwood.
93 KHJ Golden.
Oh, yeah. D. Clark. Boyle Heights. Hey, little girl, man.
Hey, little girl in the high school sweater. Gee, but I'd like to know you better. I'm just a swinging your books and chewing gum. I'm looking just like the TV.
that's what he's there for.
Take my hand in yours. Walk with me this day. In my heart I know I will never stray.
With exclusive news for KHJ listeners.
It's the Batphone Secret Number Contest presented by Boss Radio.
There's a terrific prize for the first KHJ listener to guess the secret number of our Batphone.
You've seen us answering the Batphone on TV. It's a special hotline Commissioner Gordon uses to contact us whenever there's trouble.
There are 7 digits in the Batphone secret number. Listen to what you'll win if yours is the first correct answer received by KHJ.
You'll visit Batman and me at 20th Century Fox and be our guest for lunch at the studio.
Then you'll ride to the Batcave in the Batmobile, where Robin and I will present you with a 1966 console color television set.
To visit us and win the color TV, just guess the secret Batphone number.
Watch for Robin and me on Channel 7 Wednesday and Thursday nights. And keep it on KHJ for more clues in the Batphone Secret Number Contest.
This is Alec Baldwin. There are lots of ways to show you have style. Wearing fur isn't one of them. Each year, millions of animals are drowned or beaten to death in the wild, or gassed or electrocuted in captivity for their coats. Cruelty is one fashion statement we can do without. Please help the animals by joining People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
To find out how you can help, visit furisdead.com or call 757-622-PETA.
On the Town with Mikey D is coming up next. You've been listening to Watch This with Chris Earle. Thanks for listening to Freeform Station WMFO Medford. I will be back with you next week, just for a couple hours next week from 5 to 7 p.m. Doing Watch This once again. I'm going to be talking about movies and the Oscars, and I'm going to have my 5 flicks and soundtracks for you. Stick around. It's WMFO in Medford. Thanks for listening to your Freeform Station. Good night, time travelers.
can do about it.